540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's negotiating with Hamas to free dozens of women and children trapped at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. CBS's Doug Williams has more from Tel Aviv.
They've made offers to help transport the babies there that are in need of medical care, either to a different hospital, the one still operating in Gaza, or in Egypt.
In California, President Biden's meeting with China's president on the sidelines of APEC. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
This meeting is expected to last for about 4 hours, and so they are expected to cover a wide range of issues, including artificial intelligence, including both of the wars going on.
The FAA put out a new report blaming a lack of funding and understaffing for close calls at airports. Dennis Tagers with the American Airlines Pilots Union.
The distance between error and incident has significantly narrowed, and we're seeing those incidents on the increase.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers appear to be safe at home. The American Family Field bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he has said he'll sign it. The amended bill that passed the legislature yesterday asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewers events at the stadium. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Brewers ballpark funding package that looks to be on track includes a ticket tax on non-Brewer events held at the stadium. The bills now await approval from the Wisconsin Assembly after getting state Senate approval yesterday. The idea behind the ticket tax is to have those who use the stadium contribute to renovations while reducing the state's financial burden. Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are on the hook for about $135 million in the plan. The governor says he'll sign the bill if the assembly passes it. Fall cleanup crews in the city of Waukesha are running behind. Public Works says teams on the leaf collection operation are running behind schedule due to the heavy loads. Extra crews are being brought in to help catch up. The city has an interactive map that shows where leaf crews are working in real time. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee coming off that win at home against the Chicago Bulls. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Chargers on Sunday. Green Bay has lost four of their last five games, but how did quarterback Jordan Love perform against the Steelers? Matt LaFleur.
Well, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence. I thought he was pretty decisive, made some big time throws down the field. You know, he kept fighting and battling and gave us an opportunity right there at the end of the game and obviously came up short. But, you know, I just see a guy that continues to grow and develop and learn and, you know, takes the coaching really well.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 62. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making and leading the list of things that were made that will be seen as history forever and ever. The House did pass Mike Johnson's clean resolution, continuing resolution. Remember, this is one that absolutely honored, without any cuts, the deal that McCarthy and Biden made last May, and that frankly was reduced to a bill and signed by Congress. It was passed by Congress, signed by Joe Biden, passed by the Senate. It's the law. It said that if we can't come to an agreement on a budget, they're going to use certain figures, and it's baked into the bill. That means that any attempt by the right wing in the Republican Party to change that, to reduce spending, would really have to be a new law and amend or reject that previous thing that they signed. Now, the final vote was 336 to 95. Democrats provided more votes than Republicans. 209 Democrats voted for it. 127 Republicans voted for it. That means that 93 Republicans did not vote for it. Two Democrats did not vote for it. First of all, I want to tip my hat to Hakeem Jeffries. That is unbelievable discipline. He has a squad of about 20 people, progressive caucus that is many times that, who are always nipping, and you can never be sure about what they're going to do. Then he has Blue Dog Democrats. Then he has DeLauro, the magnificent congresswoman from New Haven, Connecticut, who said she wasn't going to support this thing. And nevertheless, out of his 211 votes that he has, he got 209 of them to vote for it. That means they actually had to show up, which is a big deal in and of itself. So it passed 336 to 95. Mike Johnson put it on the floor under a special rules provision that required a two-thirds majority. He had the opportunity to do it under a different rules provision that would have only required a majority, but it would have required the consent of the Rules Committee, and he couldn't depend on some of the right-wing MAGA nuts that are on the Rules Committee. It's clear to me that Mike Johnson, either Hakeem Jeffries or one of the other leadership, sat down in advance and made it clear that this could be done. Mike Johnson's statement, the new speaker's statement, quote, here's what he said: "We are better positioned in the upcoming supplemental debate to demand border security, ensure oversight of Ukraine aid, and support our cherished ally, Israel. But I want to talk about that for a second. During the Cold War, and I remember this well just reading the newspapers a long time ago, every time a Russian leader would say anything, and even now with Putin, certainly with Xi, we have analysts that spend days analyzing every word in what they say, because they're going to come out with the same old baloney, but there are different changes in expression, changes in adjectives, changes in adverbs that can convey significance. And that was what was done with Mike Johnson, because what he's trying to do, he's trying to keep together a coalition of about 222 Republican votes. And he has people in there who, remember, called the chair on Kevin McCarthy and threw him out. So he has to be very careful. So he's going to use language that sounds aggressive and on their side. But consider what he just said, and I'm going to tell you how I interpret it and how I think the Democratic leadership interprets it. He says, we are better positioned in the upcoming supplemental debate. What's that about? Well, I'll tell you what. It's about the debate for the long-term budget on all 12 appropriation bills. Four of them are going to come due by January 19. Eight of them are going to come due on February 12. That's what he means by upcoming supplemental debate. And he says to demand border security, ensure oversight of Ukraine aid, and support our cherished ally, Israel. That's a very important statement coming from a Republican speaker, because here's how you can break it down. He will vote for Ukraine aid. He will vote for Israel aid. And by when I say vote, the speaker doesn't vote. The speaker is supposed to be the speaker of the whole House, unlike the state, the U.S. Senate, where you have the majority leader and the minority leader. The majority leader is the leader of the Democrats in this case. The speaker, even though obviously he's a Republican, is supposed to be the speaker of the whole House, because what you have is you have a majority leader Republican and a minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat. Now, there are a lot of those Republicans that have said they won't vote for Ukraine aid at all, under any circumstances. For him, when he sends ensure oversight of Ukraine aid, that's his way of saying, hey, I'm a good Republican, I want oversight, but I'm going to vote for Ukraine aid. By vote, I mean put it on the floor. And he's going to need a lot of Democratic votes for that. And oversight can be anything that he negotiates with Joe Biden and with Hakeem Jeffries. And it may be, there are audits, by the way, of all this. And most aid that goes to these foreign countries is just armaments that we produce here in the United States, pay for here in the United States, shipped to them, and it's used in the battlefield. And that's never been a problem with Ukraine. We also provide Ukraine with economic assistance so they can run their government so that they don't give in to the Russians. He may be saying, okay, maybe we want a oversight on that, which we already have, by the way, quite a bit of oversight, and that can easily be negotiated. But the point is, he can then go back to his caucus and say, hey, I really toughened up Ukraine aid. I ensured oversight. Then he says, support our cherished ally, Israel. That's vitally important. Vitally important. And most of the Republicans are for it, and most of the Democrats are for it. But it's good to hear the speaker say it. And the speaker also spoke at the rally for Israel in the mall yesterday. He gave a very strong speech. Now, the one other thing he said in here is demand border security. And that mirrors something that Mitch McConnell and the Republican moderates in the Senate have started to talk about. You know, they endorsed Biden's $106 billion aid package for Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel, and the border. But now Mitch McConnell even is saying, and I hear now Mike Johnson saying it in these words, that they're going to want more than money at the border. They're going to want changes in how refugees and what are now people coming in illegally in the country are handled. And I don't know what they're going to demand. They may demand that some of them stay in Mexico until their cases are processed, so they don't just go all over the country and then never come back for their court date. I have no idea what they're going to say. But I think we can stand stand by for that. And I also think that Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, when that comes up, and if it's endorsed by Mitch McConnell and the Republican moderates in the Senate, they're going to have little choice but to negotiate on that. But the good news in that statement is that he will support Ukraine aid and Israel aid, and obviously something for the border in terms of money, but also change in position on the border. The Senate has signaled that they are going to pass this. Remember something about the Senate. They have unanimous consent. Tuberville and Rand Paul could block it. There's an exception for budgetary matters. There's an exception for budgetary matters. And Chuck Schumer could say this is a budgetary matter and unanimous consent isn't required. And it also can't be filibustered. So I think, assuming that Kyrsten Sinema and Manchin go for it, this thing is as good as gold. But there's a lot of anger, I want to stress, in the Republican caucus right now. I just watched the news just before I came on the air, and Scott Perry and Chip Roy, they're both people, honest to Pete, who shouldn't be in the Congress. Scott Perry asked for pardon from Trump. He knows that he's a criminal. He broke the law. He was one of the architects of stealing the vote and overturning the election. And both of them were arrogant and very nasty towards Mike Johnson. They said, first strike, second strike, three strikes, you're out. You have 10 days to convince us that you're going to do the right thing on these bills in January and February. The problem with that is that if the MAGA right-wing nuts demand that those appropriation bills take big haircuts that weren't agreed on in May and frankly aren't in the law right now, Biden and Schumer aren't going to agree to that. Mike Johnson's going to have no choice but to write the bills to mirror the deal that was made in May. And the question is, do these clowns call the chair? They can. Right now, because of Mike McCarthy's concession, the rule is that the chair can be called by one person. I'm going to make a statement right now. I think it is essential. This is a strange thing to say from a former Democratic Party chairman, that this time it's essential that the Democrats provide the votes to keep Mike Johnson in there. Why do I say that? Mike Johnson's bad on a couple of things. For one thing, he says he doesn't have a checking account. He's not transparent financially. I don't like that. And secondly, he doesn't believe in separation of church and state. In fact, he just made a statement the other day saying that separation of church and state isn't what most people think in the First Amendment. Who the hell is he? He's not a constitutional scholar. So that bothers me a great deal. But we would have provided the votes for Kevin McCarthy if he hadn't shot his mouth off on national TV the weekend before the vote. Because if you have somebody in there who at least will do a deal, and in this case, Johnson did it with 209 Democrats and only 127 Republicans. That's what we like. The 127 Republicans satisfy the Hastert rule, which means that over half the Republican caucus has to be for it. He's got to be able to do that in Ukraine aid, Israel aid, and a lot of other things coming up. We got to keep him in there. We got to hold our nose and keep him in there. This is a statement of Democratic congressman in this state and to Hakeem Jeffries. Don't screw around this time. Don't have Jim Jordan get in there. Coming up, some big news about the Milwaukee Brewers.
Long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna bet you down, tell him that God's gonna bet you down.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? or trade in your outdated pieces for something new. So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, big news for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're going to be here in this town for another almost 30 years, 27 years, thank God. Two things. The bill was passed by the state Senate. It went to Tony Evers. He will sign it. It's a done deal. We will have the Brewers here for the rest of my lifetime. And I'll tell you something. The Brewers and the Bucks are a big part of Milwaukee culture and Wisconsin culture. Attract a lot of fans, a lot of economic activity. And don't discount the fact that every night during the seasons that they're playing, the name Milwaukee is on somebody's TV screen everywhere in the country. We're on the map. And also football, the Green Bay Packers. I had season tickets for 30 years, but I had them. There's a while where they played half their games in Milwaukee, late 80s, and I had tickets to those. Then they consolidated in Green Bay. Finally gave them to my sister and brother-in-law, keep them in the family. But the Brewers, Bucks, and Packers are essential to this state. The other good piece of news before I go to the line is that they picked a new head coach, an excellent guy, Pat Murphy. Pat Murphy was the bench coach right next to Craig Counsell for a long time. And here's a little known trivia fact. Craig Counsell was a star, outstanding baseball player at Notre Dame. Guess who his coach was? Pat Murphy. He was the interim manager of the San Diego Padres. He was the head coach at Arizona State. This guy is a winner. Congratulations, Brewers. Are going to the lines. They'll take you in order. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Jack?
Well, first question I've got about this Brewers deal, and please don't misunderstand me. I really don't have a major problem with the Brewers getting this funding, though I think they should have forked over, let's just say, at least 25-30% instead of maybe 10-15%. But having said that, I also then begin to wonder, where is all the profit from these $5 hot dogs and the ticket sales and all that stuff? Why wasn't that used in the last, 22 years that this place has been open to do the appropriate maintenance and do upgrades as is necessary, a bit at a time, instead of now there being $500 million that the state's going to fork over for it? Second thing I want to ask is this. How important is this when you compare it with a little thing like, why aren't the public schools being funded appropriately from the $3.5 billion surplus that we've got? So those are some serious questions I've got. Having said that, like I said, I took my son to Brewers games when he was a kid and was still living in town, and he's now moved to Minneapolis, so he's become kind of a traitor. I'm sure he's a Twins fan. But besides that, the Brewers should stay, and we should probably do something to support them.
Yeah, excellent call, Jack. Let me hit the answer, and then we'll go to the next caller. First of all, they're in the contract set out where the profits go. And remember something, the Brewers didn't just not do any maintenance for 22 years. On your house, you have to do maintenance. They did plenty of maintenance for 22 years. But over time, especially something that big, and remember the retractable roof and everything, there's a safety issue. You know, our home, you know, we do maintenance all the time, but at some point you have to tuck point the whole home too. And of course, the Brewers is sort of that on steroids. Secondly, I couldn't agree more that the Republican legislature is not permitting the use of money to enhance public education in this state. I could not agree more. And there is, it's not just a rainy day fund. This is a fund that's there that's to be spent for that kind of thing. So what we're really saying is Robin Voss and LeMahieu in the Senate, although frankly, this the margin in the Senate was provided by the Democrats. I think 8 Democrats out of 11 voted for it, whereas only 8 Republicans out of 22 voted for it. So it's the Democrats all over the place, but Voss and LeMahieu didn't get in the way. The fact that they then on the next case are not doing the right thing, I could not agree with you more. And that's why we got to get rid of gerrymandering, because if there were no gerrymandering, we'd have a Democratic state Senate and legislature. Excellent call. Thanks a lot. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
If this is the right answer, congratulations to the Brewers. Living here in Detroit, we have the benefit of finally every team we've got in Michigan is now in the city of Detroit in one central location. And that has been great for the redevelopment of Detroit because of the tax money, this, that, and whatever. Excuse me. But back to where does the concession money go? The Ford family owns Ford Field and the Lions and this and that. And the concessions in Detroit are some of the highest in the country. And where does that money go? Oh, that goes to the Ford family. They own it, all the concessions. They own it, all of it. But, you know, every couple of years, they re-renovate that state. And that stadium is beautiful, Matt. It is beautiful. But, you know, it gets people coming into Detroit. They spend their money downtown. Right. And, you know, so for that alone, good on Detroit for giving up this tax, that tax on these people. I don't know that Detroit would have survived, the downtown of Detroit would have survived COVID without those four teams and the people that are drawn to the city. Thanks, Matt.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And here's the deal. Nobody is going to put except for the Green Bay Packers, they're a special case. But in general, nobody puts a major league team in other than a large metropolitan area because they want people in the seats. Milwaukee is one of the smallest big league towns in the country for all these sports. We play above our weight. I mean, with Giannis Antetokounmpo, we won the national championship a few years ago, and the Brewers have been in the playoffs for what, 5 of the last 6 years. That's huge. It's huge for Wisconsin too. A lot of these fans come from all around the state, and the tourism money that comes into the state is excellent. It's excellent. Green Bay Packers are a special case, because that law that permitted them to do that, to issue basically no stock that you can sell, and that is in a, you know, Green Bay is what, 90,000, 100,000 people? It's terrific. But they're a special case. They're also won the first 2 Super Bowls, coached by Vince Lombardi. They're iconic. They're iconic in NFL lore. But I think here's the deal. Some of these people that own these things are billionaires, like out on the West Coast. It would be chump change for a guy, for instance, like Bill Gates or Bezos. I don't think they own a team, but they could build their own stadium, and they would. It's folding money, chump change. But the fact of the matter is, in general, it's important to keep them, and it was important to keep the Brewers here. Okay, coming up, news, weather, and gag, Tommy Tuberville.
Where it will go, where it will go. Fixing a hole where the rain gets in, stops my mind from wandering.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells since July because of safety worries and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved out. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. More young people are taking part in Wisconsin's registered apprenticeship program than ever before. The paid training program combines on-the-job learning and education from technical colleges and private training centers. More than 16,000 apprentices are taking part. That's the highest number in the program's 112 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The City of Milwaukee's Inspector General is standing by her report that accuses the city attorney and one of his deputies of misconduct. The attorney for Deputy City Attorney Odalo Ohiku is disputing the allegations, asserting that his client is innocent. Rhonda Kohlheim maintains that her investigation was impartial and independent. Ohiku's attorney argues that the report contains factual errors and lacks due process, as he was never interviewed. The district attorney's office will ultimately decide whether to file charges. Cornfields were quaking early this morning with the epicenter of a 3.6 magnitude earthquake about 180 miles to the southwest. Standard, Illinois is where officials say was where the morning quake was centered at just before 5 a.m. At this point, there have been no reports of any damage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com.
Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee coming off that win at home against the Chicago Bulls. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Chargers on Sunday. Green Bay has lost four of their last five games. But how did quarterback Jordan Love perform against the Steelers? Matt LaFleur.
Well, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence. I thought he was pretty decisive, made some big-time throws down the field. You know, he kept fighting and battling and gave us an opportunity right there at the end of the game and obviously came up short. But, you know, I just see a guy that continues to grow and develop and learn and, you know, takes the coaching really well.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 62. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we still have a backlog of military promotions. Tommy Tuberville, who says he's a white supremacist, he says, I'm a Trump supporter, and a Trump supporter is a white supremacist. And then he said, an American is a white supremacist, Confederate sympathizer, a mangy dog. I really don't want to see him up here polluting our city this coming in July. Under unanimous consent, he holds his pinky up and he says, I object to any military officer in the U.S. military being promoted. Right when we're in a shooting war in Ukraine, and by that I mean our troops are not involved, our troops are all over Eastern Europe, all over the Mediterranean, shooting war in Gaza, where the sadistic attack by Hamas and Islamic Jihad murdered and tortured a lot of Israelis, and they have no choice but to defend themselves, in my view. We have special forces advising the IDF, the Israeli military, locating hostages in tunnels. We've had experience with that in Mosul and in Fallujah. We've had experience in Vietnam. And in all of this, this draft-dodging clown from Alabama, this chicken hawk, said that, no, you can't. He just says it. Who's he? Constitution doesn't say he can say that. Well, reported the last couple of days that there appeared to be movement in the House and the Senate. The House, by the way, doesn't have any authority on that. It's a confirmation by the Senate. But it would help a lot if the House privately or publicly rose up and said to the Senate, get off the dime. And none of them have done that. There's not a single Republican, not a single Republican congressman in this state who's told Ron Johnson, get off the dime. And Ron Johnson supports Tommy Tuberville. I don't think Ron Johnson served in the military either. So you have all these chicken hawks doing this stuff. Well, it looked, and it may still work. May still work. Jack Reed, great senator from Rhode Island, and Chuck Schumer came up with a deal where they would promote 350 of the roughly 450 officers now who are in limbo with in a group by a resolution that went through the Rules Committee to suspend unanimous consent only for the rest of this Congress and only for military promotions. Every Republican on the Rules Committee voted against it. But because we have a majority, it passed and it's going out on the floor. But here is the kicker. Once it goes out on the floor, because of the filibuster, it requires 60 votes, not 51. We have 51 votes. But Mitch McConnell and the Republicans say we're filibustering it. We don't want these promotions until Tommy Tuberville says we can have them. And why is that? And all of their explanations are things like, well, he's a nice guy. You know, I kind of like the guy. He's a guy's guy. Are you kidding me? Take a good look. Have you ever seen less character on a human face? Well, Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar, yeah, but not by a long shot, not by a long shot. Then the Republicans said, give us more time to resolve it internally. We want to be able to persuade Tommy Tuberville. They've had 8 months and they haven't persuaded Tommy Tuberville. He's enjoying the attention. He's a backbencher, a hack of no importance and no consequence. Will never be remembered for anything when he passes, other than that he betrayed the United States. But Benedict Arnold is the same thing. At least Benedict Arnold was in the army, and he was a general. Unfortunately, he was also a traitor. But he was in our army. Here is the thing that deeply concerns me. The Secretary of the Army reported yesterday that some high-ranking officers who have been held up for 8 months have decided to retire by the end of this year. They're fed up. Their families are fed up. They sold their houses on the other base and put their stuff in storage to get the third star. They're a two-star general, to get the third star. And in the Navy, as an admiral, two stars, you'd be a rear admiral, three stars, You'd be a vice admiral, and four stars, you're an admiral. It's a very big deal. They live for rank, not for pay. They live for the challenge of leading men and women in combat. You know, Napoleon was the one who invented service medals. Did you ever wonder? You see a guy gets the, or a woman gets the Medal of Honor, or they'll get the Navy Cross, and they'll put a thing on their uniform with a little cloth on it, colored cloth. Everybody that goes in the Navy gets one medal immediately. It's called the service medal. It used to be yellow, red, and yellow, and it just says you're in the service because they want you walking around in a uniform with no medals on it. But Napoleon invented it, and he once said, he talked to a sergeant, and he pointed to the medal, and he said, it is unbelievable that men will risk their lives for that piece of cloth. Well, they risk their lives for patriotism in this country. And Tommy Tuberville has knifed our patriots, and the Republican Party has knifed our patriots. At the end of the year, we are going to lose some major officers, some colonels who are about to become generals, some captains in the Navy who are about to become rear admirals, but also some rear admirals who are going to become vice admirals, and some major generals who are going to become lieutenant generals. This is a lot of experience. The Republican Party doesn't care. And here's what the Secretary of the Army said, and then I'm going to go to the lines. She said, it has, quote, it has been very problematic. A two-star general, while awaiting confirmation, just submitted his retirement papers, citing concerns about how the job uncertainty has impacted his family. With the Republican Party, Ron Johnson, stand with Tommy Tuberville. They're not an American party. They're a party that is for money. We'll side with Saudi Arabia and Putin. They are betraying the United States. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Gina?
Thank you so much for taking my call, Matt. Outstanding show, as usual. You know, I'm so glad that you're there speaking with experience in the military. When I was younger, you know, I didn't know a lot about the military, and a friend of mine, I stayed on a base in the National Guard, and I never realized, because I always thought, gee, this is so weird, because everybody's treated exactly the same way, you know, and then I learned how it's a unit, and they all depend on one another, and they're all equal, they're all treated the same, and the respect and the learning, you know, because everybody has to do things a certain way, most people aren't used to it, but it was so important for the cohesiveness and the safety and the communications among one another, and then the leadership, because the leader of that unit, I mean, they know the men. They know the protocol and the procedures. Idiots like Johnson and Tuberville, who's never even taken an interest in learning about the military and how important procedures are and how important that, you know, that this is psychologically, physically, socially put together for everyone's safety, especially the military people themselves. So these people shouldn't even be in office, and I'm so glad you bring this out, because this is so important for our country, and it's so important for the psychological, plus, you know, the way that the military is run, the cohesiveness and the safety and the understanding of procedures among the men and women that work together as a unit. So these people are, you know, I know I can't swear, but I'd say a-holes, and they really should be kicked out of office. And I hope people start voting these yahoos out of there, because this is nuts. So thank you so much, Matt. Keep fighting for the military. They deserve our support. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. Great call, as always. Yeah, let me pick up on that. A lot of people don't appreciate the importance of leadership. By that, I mean in everything, but especially the military. But to use a much less important analogy, sports. If Tommy Tuberville said that none of the NFL could have a head coach, that the team would have to pretend that the quarterback coach or the line coach was the head coach, it would impact the performance of a team if you said that. The reason it would impact the performance of a team, people would be uncertain. You still have talented athletes, but you'd lose a step. You'd lose a stutter step. When you elevate that to the military, right now we do not have a commander of the Fifth Fleet. We do not have, for instance, a commandant of the Marine Corps. And yet there are thousands of Marines who are about to be deployed, possibly into Lebanon. Now listen, the Marines, they based on discipline. My dad and two of my uncles served in the Marine Corps, one in the First World War, one in the Second World War, and one in the Korean War. And for them to know that the fighting in Washington means that they don't have a commandant. The commandant of the Marine Corps is a very big deal. Or for the sailors of the Fifth Fleet to know that they do not have a commander of the Fifth Fleet, that affects performance. It can, you may think it's a very small thing, but I'll give you something that isn't a small thing. Five servicemen were killed in a nighttime refueling operation near Cyprus just the other day. If that area had had a commanding officer, and I do not know who their commanding officer is, but there are a lot of commanding officers whom I knew who would say, you know, it's important to practice nighttime refueling. It's a very difficult procedure. You have to lower a hose down into a hole in the dark while you're pitching back and forth. Maybe as we're about to possibly go into war, we can suspend the training part of that. That would be something a commandant would do. Go to the lines. Matt and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Matt?
Yeah, just a real quick point, Matt. To get into the service academy, which basically creates most of the officers, a lot of times you have to sit down with a senator, a U.S. senator, to get your, you know, letter of recommendation and things like that. I know for a fact that Tuberville and Johnson have probably sat through this, or at least the representatives. I feel like if they're going to continue with this act, which is all it is, then when these interviews are happening, they should say, look, I will sign your letter of recommendation, but there's a very good chance in the future, me or someone like me will prevent you from achieving the goal that you apparently have set for yourself, which is to rise through the ranks and lead men and women into combat. That's all I have, Matt. Thanks.
That is an excellent, the hypocrisy of that. Think about this. The hypocrisy of these people, and then they always publish pictures in the papers around the state of whom they interviewed and who got selected, and they're all proud and they're grinning. But both Tuberville and Ron Johnson are holding a knife behind their backs. Because what they're saying is not all these people are going to be generals and admirals, but some of them will be. And when the time comes, I may pull the knife out. And that's a really, frankly, very good insight, and it's an absolutely very good way to state it. In other words, it's kind of it's false advertising. People like Tuberville and Johnson, I could never imagine a guy like Bill Proxmire doing that. He didn't post pictures in small town newspapers because he was a hypocrite. He did it because he was very proud of these kids. Johnson and Tuberville are not proud of these kids. Johnson and Tuberville would stick a knife in these kids in terms of their promotion goals. The few, and there are very few that do make it, get up to star rank, in other words, flag rank. Excellent call, Matt. Thanks very, very much. Well, what's coming up? News and weather and question. What is an Iranian terror leader doing chumming it up with a UN official? All the time.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That, not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret, every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Well, I won't back.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, this just in Geneva. And this is just in because the UN actually posted it on their social media. There was a meeting and a handshake and a chumming it up between a guy named Martin Griffith. Martin Griffith is the Undersecretary for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief. And he posted that he held a meeting in Geneva with the Iranian Foreign Minister, Hossein Amiradabalan, and about the devastating situation in Gaza, and the critical need to deliver aid to the area. The Wall Street Journal reported that he had had two meetings with this guy, and that this guy, this Iranian, himself had had two meetings in Lebanon with Hamas to plan and to Hamas and Islamic Jihad to plan the October 7 attack. Now, for a UN official to meet on that circumstance with one of the people who planned the attack on Israel on October 7 and pretend to say, well, we met because we wanted to talk about the critical situation, how important it was to get an aid. Give me a break. Give me a break. You don't meet with the arsonist and talk about how to rebuild the house. That is absurd. Obviously, this guy, this Iranian guy, sort of shook his head and stroked his chin and said, yes, it's terrible. We must get aid. Of course, they won't give any aid. They give only weapons. And I want to build on that in this respect. A government is always different from its people. There are no elections in Iran. There was a revolution in 1979. They threw the Shah out. He came to New York for medical care. And they took over and they imposed a theocratic state. The Iranian people are fine people. I've said before on the show that a very good friend of mine, Dr. Herzl Spiro, a psychiatrist, had spent time in Iran working with Iranian psychiatrists and medical doctors, and he said he found them very congenial. But the Iranian government are killers. They really are killers. They not only orchestrate these death to America, death to Israel chants in the public space all the time, but they are behind funding Islamic Jihad and some of the worst terror groups in the Middle East and some who have struck outside of the Middle East, including in Europe. They fund Hamas, they fund Hezbollah, they provide them weapons, and they met with them to plan their attacks, in this case, the October 7 attack. Now, a question I've always had, and thank God that Joe Biden is our president, not Donald Trump, and not any other lightweight, not Nikki Haley, not Chris Christie, not Ron DeSantis, not, God forbid, Vivek Ramaswamy, none of them. They don't have Joe's experience. When do you engage and when do you stop short of war to prevent its spread? The Iranians, through their proxies, have been launching missiles at American service members in Syria and Iraq. And each time they do it, Biden has ordered a retaliatory punishing airstrike on their munitions. And in the last one, they killed a number of Iranian, not just proxy, but Iranian military people. But it was in Syria and Iraq. There may come a time when we are going to have to attack Iran itself, including Tehran, including their nuclear facility, including their navy and their ships, including their air force and their airports. And I would argue also their government buildings to try to eliminate this government, this government or sadists. But that would have consequences that most people don't appreciate. And so when people have asked me, Matt, you know, shouldn't we do something like that? Well, not so fast. First of all, if you use weapons like that, that could give China the idea to start doing it in Taiwan. We definitely don't want to get involved in a war in the Pacific against China defending Taiwan. We should never use nuclear weapons preemptively like that. But if we did, Russia would use them in Ukraine. In other words, anything we do to Iran may be used as copycat by China and Russia. They both have nuclear weapons, and we have to be very careful about that, and Biden understands that. What could change that equation is if they launch missiles against our military, and it can be in Iraq, it can be in Syria, it can be in on the water and against our Navy, it can be in Lebanon, and kill a number of our service members directly, then in my view, we have no choice but to retaliate against them and forcefully and make them pay a punishing price. If that happens, and God forbid, I hope it doesn't happen, it's so important that everybody in this country, and not just Tuberville, not just the senators, but everybody get behind our military. I see very promising signs of that occurring. You know, we had a long period of lethargy and people who would disparage the military and not support the military, and that seems to be quieting down. But it is not quieted down in the Congress and the Senate. It really is not. And there are people who do disparage the military. Tuberville has said, well, it's really a bureaucracy and there are too many bureaucrats, referring to our military officers as bureaucrats. Commandant of the Marine Corps is not a bureaucrat. The CEO of the Fifth Fleet is not a bureaucrat. But I want everybody to realize how important it is and how terrific it is that we have an honest president who's experienced and temperate and has a great deal of wisdom. Because the minute a war breaks out, you can make all the plans you want. But I'm always reminded of Mike Tyson's, the great boxer's, statement one time. They said to him, what's your plan in this fight? And he says, everybody has a plan for the fight until they get punched in the face. That was Mike Tyson, and he was telling the truth. Okay, what's up next? Well, there's a lot up next. A lot of good stuff, interesting stuff up next. There is a lot of news. There's a lot of weather. And the Pelosi hammer attack, Paul Pelosi, an unbelievable thing happened in court.
I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Roll into this Friday night.
And strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti. 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.